Coming up on this episode of The Commercial Break.
I think he needs to drink a lot of grapefruit juice.
Grapefruit juice? Is that what's curing it?
This is my brand new COVID-19 protocol. Grapefruit juice, aspirin, raw eggs, and smelled the feet of a dirty llama.
Wow, Henry. That sounds
incredible. Kicker at the end.
Literally.
Good one, Henry.
Thank you. I'm also having a new comedy podcast coming out.
I have watched the show. I've watched every episode, all 365,000 episodes. And I thought it was rather entertaining, as I guess that's a point, right? Is for it to be entertaining. It is a television show, first and foremost. So my favorite couple on the show, Michelle and Steve, I reached out to Michelle. She's been nice enough to join us. And so without further ado, we're going to snap our fingers. Let's talk to Michelle. By the way, you can cuss and do anything you want on my show. There's no rules on this show. So don't.
There you are.
Yeah. We're not live. That's the good news.
No. It's not live.
Because, our swear words are different to the American ones.
Okay. Well, use the Australian and the American cuss words. We prefer it.
Because, they're rude. Like, we swear, and, you might think we're really rude.
No, we like that.
Yeah.
We like it.
Bring it on.
The next episode of The Commercial Break starts now.
I was just here checking my news scroll to make sure that I didn't miss any important events that are happening today. We're recording this on Saturday night here in the United States. And of course, our president of these United States has been diagnosed with SARS-CoV-2, also known as coronavirus or COVID-19.
The novel coronavirus.
Novel coronavirus. Not so novel anymore, is it?
No.
Yeah.
Not so funny.
Yeah, no, not so funny at all. We do a lot of joking about coronavirus here on this show, born out of the boredom of the real life commercial break that we're involved in. But I certainly don't wish ill on anybody, and certainly not our president of the United States, because whether I like the guy or I don't like the guy, having a president that's incapacitated or this serious of a condition is not good news for anybody involved. And I don't even know what to think, to be honest with you, Hodley. I really don't.
There's so many emotions that are just running through me. It's, sadness, anger.
I told you so's.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought this could happen and it did, but you're the president. Why did you let this happen? Why did you spread it to a ton of people?
Well, to be fair to the president, no one's going to ever really know.
No. Well, there's so many people that have come in with some contact with so many people.
And you were just telling me that they think that it might have happened at this Amy Barrett introduction, Rose Garden ceremony. And that she had
June. Eight people that have tested positive were at that event.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
But none of the kids or anything have it. So I guess that's good.
There's still hope.
We need a doctor on the show that could tell us about We need a doctor.
Let's get Sanjay Gupta.
Sanjay Gupta. Oh, look, it's Henry from Podcast Universe.
Henry.
That is from yourhealth.com.
Yourhealth.com?
Well, it's actually yourhealth.wod.
Yourhealth.wod?
That's correct. It's a brand new extension for doctors only.
Okay. And what do you make of all of this?
It's a very serious condition. He's in a very bad shape, and I think he needs to drink a lot of grapefruit juice.
Grapefruit juice? Is that what's curing it?
This is my brand new COVID-19 protocol. Grapefruit juice, aspirin, raw eggs, and smelled the feet of a dirty llama.
Wow, Henry. That sounds
incredible. Kicker at the end.
Literally.
Good one, Henry.
Thank you. I'm also having a new comedy podcast coming out called Henry Fonda's Comedy Podcast.
Good for you, Henry.
Thank you, Hudley. I knew you'd like that. Okay, listen, if you need any doctoral advice, you just give me a call. I'm here for you and the president.
Are you the president's doctor?
No, but all the president's doctors come from my office. We all share the same office.
Okay, well, I guess we're in good hands.
Not particularly.
But I, this is just like one of those things where you just 15, 20, 30 days before an election, now he's out for at least 15 days. So I wonder what happens next. Like, what's the next play? What happens here? Do they try and convince the American public that they need to push back the election or it doesn't need to happen, or he wins because he got coronavirus? I'm not really sure.
Anything could happen.
Anything could happen.
Apparently, they're not going to push the election back. But in this year and under Trump, who knows?
Who knows? But I do want to make it clear. I do wish the president and his wife and anybody else that was affected
a speedy recovery.
Yeah, we're just hearing that now. Chris Christie is going to the hospital. This is Saturday night, so you're listening to this on Wednesday. Yeah. More than likely, then we're not giving you particularly timely information, but we're just learning
shocked.
It as we go. Yeah, we're absolutely floored. I was up working on the podcast at like 1 a.m. And you know, when this,
on Thursday night, it came out,
when Hope Hicks was announced that she had COVID, or actually she didn't announce it. A news reporter announced it. A news reporter announced that someone had come on Marine One and said, Hope Hicks has coronavirus. You four people who were in touch with her need to get off the Marine One. And then they still sent the president out to Bedminster. Well, it's just like, what? Why didn't he just stay home at that point? I don't know. Whatever. I mean, you know, who am I to judge or guess or whatever?
I have one word, ego.
Yeah, it's too much.
That's pretty much the whole thing.
But here's another way to look at it, Hoadley. And it's the most protected man in the world. The most protected man on earth gets coronavirus. We can get coronavirus.
But it depends on how much he let people protect him and how much he did to protect himself. And I don't think that was there.
They're taking this
I don't think he was protecting himself. He thought he was invincible.
They're taking this like they apparently the one thing that they have is like this Abbott quick test that they have. You know, like everybody takes this Abbott quick test. And I just read that the Abbott quick test is up to only 30%.
Yeah. It's not. I know. I'm like, why were they giving him that?
Created from the labs of Podcast Universe, the new Abbott quick test.
Good job, buddy.
That's right. We just put a bunch of bleach in it.
Yep.
Yeah. We hope it turns colors.
That's right.
50-50 guess.
That's not great odds, Henry.
In my country, it's great odds.
Which country is that?
I don't want to say right now.
I mean, when you have a 30% chance of getting it right,
really weird because I can go down and get a test here where we are, and you've gotten the same test from the same place that we're going to. And I just went and got tested last week, got my results back less than 24 hours later. So why aren't they doing that test? That's supposed to be the most reliable test, and that's the nose swab.
Well, the Abbott test quick test is a nasal swab. It's like you do the nasal swab, and then it's like a quick solution they use. I think whatever, you know what, here's the reality. He's got it.
Anything.
Yeah, he's got it. It didn't work. None of the fucking protocols worked.
Yeah.
He's not wearing a mask. No one's wearing a mask. They're all spreading it to each other. It's just like I wish the president well,
big
but
big old COVID party.
Yeah, big old COVID party. That's right. It's like a chicken pox party.
Slumber party.
Slumber party. Speaking of slumber party, let me tell you a story.
Yes.
Here, Chrissy Hoadley. Well, let's get to this first. Go to www.tcbpodcast.com. That's where you can listen to all the episodes. You can look at show notes, find out more information about what we're talking about. And Chrissy and I, you can also join the break room where you have exclusive access to the after show, which is about between a 15 and a 30 minute show that Chrissy and I do after every podcast. And only the break room members get that. It's completely free. You don't owe us anything. I mean, if you want to give us something, you're more than welcome to, but we're not particularly charging. We're not going to charge the first three subscribers. We do take tips. Where we take tips, I have no idea. Send it to Podcast
Universe. We need to have like a virtual G-string.
Oh.
Like our tip jar.
Maybe can we have a real G-string as our tip jar? That's my next question. So go to tcbpodcast.com and you can join the break room. You can't miss it. It's right there. Just hit join break room and go to @thecommercialbreak on Instagram and Facebook. Join our social media. We're in the middle of doing giveaways like this cup and masks and masks and all this other kind of really nice cloth masks stitched with the TCB logo and all kind of other stuff. And
you have pop sockets too, right?
We do. We have pop sockets. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we got a bunch of stuff. And also, just to let everyone know, you can now watch the show on YouTube. That YouTube episode usually comes out sometime a couple hours after the actual audio episode. But by Wednesday morning, when you wake up here in the United States, it will be available to you. And that's now available to everybody. However, the after show still only available video and audio to the break room. So go there. Yeah. Let me tell you a little story.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PIE, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know,
trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Ladies and gentlemen.
What are you doing?
What do you mean?
I'm making Just keep it simple.
I'm making the promo.
Just keep it simple. Just say, hey, we're the Brav Bros. Two guys that talk about Bravo.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we're the Brav Bros.
No.
Oh.
Dude. Stop with the voice. Just keep it simple.
I've seen promos on TV, dude. This is how you get the fans engaged. This is how you get listeners. We're trying to get listeners here. If we just say, oh, we're two dudes that talk about Bravo, people are going to get tired of it already. We need some oomph.
All right, then fine. Let's try to do it with your voice.
Brav Bros.
Good job.
I have been talking about this, you know, my bad reality television habits have now infested.
You've got a bad habit.
I do. Mm-hmm. Have now infested the commercial break.
Yes.
And
yes,
gotten,
they have.
I know I've gotten you hooked, at least
you
on
have
one.
Got me. You gave me something for free to start, and then next thing you know, I'm paying for it.
That's how they get you. Yeah. They don't get you on the first one. They get you on the comeback. That's right. Just a little teener. They call it a teener. Just going to give you a little teener.
Yeah. Just
finger
try
dip,
this.
Finger dip.
Try
finger
it.
Dip.
Just try this. It's on me.
Chili dip, chili dip. I'll tell you a story a different time. Remind me to do the chili dip story because I think you'll find it entertaining. So there's a reality television show that has taken parts of the United States by storm. The show is called Married at First Sight Australia. Now there's been a Married at First Sight, the US version has been around for about 9 seasons. And here's the premise of the show. Two strangers get hooked up by experts. Experts take two single people and they look at a bunch of different criteria and they interview them and they say,
it's
okay.
Like expert matchmakers.
Expert matchmakers.
They ask you personality questions. They ask you what you're looking for and they do the best they can to match you up.
Clinical psychologists,
yes.
Marriage counselor types, you know, like at least that's
experts.
The way they present themselves as experts in relationships, as much as I guess someone is going to be an expert on a relationship. And out of hundreds and hundreds of people, they match these two people together. This show has been pretty popular here in the United States. And I think the experts do a rather good job. At least I've watched some of the seasons, not all of them. I'm not particularly like a huge fan of Married at First Sight, the US version, but they try and put two people together that can somehow in some strange way make it work, right? This year, because of coronavirus, they have decided to import a different version of the show that is Married at First Sight Australia.
Ooh.
Married at First Sight Australia is a cut from a whole different cloth than the Married at First Sight United
Loin
States.
Cloth.
Yeah, definitely. And so there's these 9 couples, same premise, 9 couples, total strangers, hooked up by experts, although I think in this case, the experts are the producers and not having to do anything with the relationship experts. They hook these two people up for a marriage. They then go on a short honeymoon and then they're to live together in the same apartment together. Like they just move in together right away for, I'm guessing, about 2 or 3 months. We'll have an opportunity to find out more about this later on the show as we're going to have our very first guest besides our friends, our very first guest, besides our friends, who, not to say they're not celebrities in
their
own
right. They're amazing.
Like Jeff is well known and Rachel certainly is.
I told Jeff, I was like, we're having our first guest. And he said, I thought I was your first guest.
Yeah, kind of.
Well, but someone that we, it's from a show.
Yeah, someone that
they're on a show.
Someone that we didn't already know. Right. And so we're going to have our opportunity to ask these questions of our very first guest, who is, in my opinion, one of the breakout stars of the particular reality show, Married at First Sight Australia, Michelle and her husband, Steve, her television show husband, Steve, will not be with her. We'll get a chance to ask her questions for obvious reasons because they hate
each
other.
That's M-I-S-H-E-L.
That's right.
Spelled all you podcast
listeners.
Folks.
Yeah. If you want to Google Michelle Married at First Sight Australia, it's Michelle. So let me give you a little breakdown of how the television show works. Married, total strangers, married day. They run off. They have
totally normal,
completely normal. Listen, I felt like I was marrying a stranger and I knew my wife for 2 years. So I don't even know what it's like to marry someone you've known for no minutes and no seconds.
No minutes. Yeah, no, you see them for the first time, hence the name.
And in case you're wondering, they literally meet on the altar. Like they don't meet each other beforehand. They literally walk up to the altar and they meet each other right then and there. They exchange
vows. But they've been
matched
by the quote unquote professionals.
Experts, excuse me, Hodi. Experts. Right. Yes. So then they get married. Sometimes family members show up, family and friends. They have a big party afterwards. They have a nice reception afterwards. They're hustled off to some exotic location.
Do people get to choose chicken or beef?
I don't know. That's a great question. We should ask that question. I don't know. Or is it just what you get stuck with?
Fish, vegetarian, do you get to choose?
Okay. And who's the DJ? Do they have a band? Yeah. And like, did you get involved in that? Like, part of me wishes I had got married at first sight because all that shit would have been taken care of for me right off the beginning. Exactly. I wouldn't have to worry about a damn thing.
Exactly.
Shuffled off to a honeymoon where they spend a couple of days getting to know each other in the honeymoon bubble. Sometimes right then and there, you start to see cracks. You start to understand where it's going to go right and where it's going to go wrong. Who's going to be the interesting people this season and who's not, on both versions, on the US version and the Australian version. But it's the rubber really meets the road when they start living with each other. Yeah. Now, the difference between the two shows, in case you're wondering, is that I just think that the Australian version is much more slicked up. It's much more ready for prime time. Mm. And they're trying to get characters in the door that are going to make for interesting television, not interesting marriages, interesting television. When they get in the same apartment as each other, they then every single week have a dinner where all the couples get together and have dinner and they all talk shit about each other and they all tell each other what's going on in their marriages. And then every single week they have to recommit to each other in a recommitment ceremony. So in the US version, they don't do this. It's just like, you know, everyone lives on their own and they do their own thing and they kind of interact with the other couples, but not much. So I'm saying all of this, I'm giving you a preface because we're probably going to talk a little bit about some of the minutiae of the show. And I wanted those who don't watch the show to understand what goes on. Dinner, recommitment ceremony, living together right after the marriage, honeymoon ceremony, literally married strangers.
I'm sorry. Okay, keep going.
There's nothing else to say. I mean, that was it. That was it.
Okay.
I have watched the show. I've watched every episode, all 365,000 episodes. And I thought it was rather entertaining, as I guess that's a point, right? Is for it to be entertaining. It is a television show first and foremost. Mm-hmm. So my favorite couple on the show, Michelle and Steve, I reached out to Michelle. She's been nice enough to join us. And so without further ado, we're going to snap our fingers. Let's talk to Michelle. Michelle, you look great.
Hello, you look beautiful.
Thank you. Beautiful. Oh, you're so kind.
It's so nice to meet you, like virtually.
Oh, it's good to meet you. This is the only way that we're meeting people now.
Yeah. Well, that's very true.
It's very true.
Oh, I don't know about you guys. Well, I'm not meeting anyone really. Yeah, so did he get COVID? How did he get COVID?
Right. Oh, that's the question.
Do I laugh?
Listen, he's got fucking COVID. By the way, you can cuss and do anything you want on my show. There's no rules on this show. So don't.
Are we live?
Yeah. We're not live. That's the good
news.
No.
It's not live.
Because, like, you know, our swear words are different to the American ones.
Okay. Well, use the Australian and the American cuss words. We prefer it.
Okay. Because, you know, they're rude. Like, we swear, and, like, you might think we're really rude.
No, we like that.
Yeah.
We like it.
Bring it on. So we think the president got coronavirus because he doesn't wear a fucking mask and he goes around.
Oh gosh, why do you have to wear masks?
Every day. I mean, listen, we don't have to, but we do because
that's how it spreads.
We're the number one country in the world for coronavirus.
Yeah. Oh, I think he must just be immune. He thought all the bullshit was going to filter it.
He thought he was immune. He definitely thought he was immune.
It's really bad. I can't comment because I don't know if he's really that bad. He just seems like a bit of a joke.
Yeah, no, he is. We fully think that. It's been a weird 4 years.
But he's coming up again, isn't he? Can he do it again?
Yeah, well.
There are people that will vote for him, but we're not.
Is there any better options?
Yeah, yes. Joe Biden. He's a more liberal candidate. And there's about 30% of this country that will do whatever President Trump says. It's a cult here. He's reached cult status and it's unbelievable. We always look at every other country that's ass backwards, like Venezuela or North Korea. And we go, that can't happen to us. We're America. But Australia's not. Is Australia that bad? Do you guys have like a dictator for a president?
No, we don't. Like, ours are probably just dumb.
Well, that's politicians in general. Yeah, for sure.
But they're not as dumb as Trump. I just like, yeah, they're a little bit more, I don't know. It depends because we've got a constitution and like they kind of rule, every state rules by themselves and then the whole body is kind of, I don't know.
Ours are very
different.
Yeah.
So, like, our states have different laws to the whole country.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Same thing here. But the federal government, which is the government that you know,
the
is
main
over
head.
Yeah, they're really in charge. So the states can kind of do whatever they want to do. But if it doesn't jive with what the federal government says, well, then they're not doing it, right? So
we kind of have more pull. So Queensland, we're not on restrictions because as much as anyone else. So we can go out. We can actually go and have like weddings or parties or do whatever because we're pretty COVID safe.
Oh, wow.
Do you?
That's great.
The other states are in full lockdown where they're not allowed to leave their suburb. So it depends on the state and our state has just chosen this and we've got the lowest rate anyway. So.
Well, let me ask you this while we're on the subject. So I think, you know, most Americans probably know about as much about Australia as has been shown in pop culture. Crocodile Dundee and that guy who died chasing the alligators, right? And so that's just because. Steve Irwin?
He died from,
Steve Irwin.
Steve Irwin.
He wasn't killed by an alligator, was he?
Stingray.
He was killed by the
stingray.
Yeah. I thought, well, he didn't die from that, did he? Just like.
I make shit up.
We all know he tried to save the stingray. We think he's a hero, and we do. He was.
We watched his show, right? We were all in on Steve Irwin when he was around. I don't know much about, but we don't. What's so funny is watching the show, especially, is I see the similarities in our pop culture. Like you dress the same, you talk the same, you drink the same, you have fun the same way. The culture is so similar, but we don't share much pop culture in general. Like. We don't hear about Australia. I'm sure maybe you guys hear a little bit more about us because we have a loudmouth president. But do you guys, is coronavirus considered a serious thing there? Is it like taken seriously or is it just like, well, it's the flu and we're just going to have to get through it? Or does it depend on who you are?
It depends on who you are there. We've got those little conspiracy theorists. Yeah. And I don't know. Queensland is like a state that's very laid back. We kind of, you know what, you want us to do this? Yeah, we'll agree. We won't, we'll follow the rules. And then you let us have this? Okay, yay, yeah. We're like farmers. We really are very simple folk and we're very laid back. We're Victoria, the ones that have been really locked down, they're kind of up themselves and they think that they own the country and they never followed the rules. So there's always been a Victoria, New South Wales kind of thing where
head-to-head
they both
competition.
Yeah, so Victoria thinks that they're the classy state, Melbourne. They're very classy. Mm-hmm. And Sydney is like the popular trendy. And Brisbane, we're just like outback farmers. We're like so laid back.
I love that.
And you can just like, you can see like Drew, he's from Queensland.
Yeah, he's a cool guy.
And Johnny, but he's just one of the dumb ones.
Well, God bless his soul. God bless his soul. Yeah.
He's just a dumb surfer, which is okay. We just need a few of those to make up the population.
You know, Johnny had a good thing, but Johnny did come across as kind of a dumb surfer guy, right? And so
he wasn't very smart. He was a himbo.
What's a himbo?
Oh, the male version of a bimbo.
Oh,
he was really like, I love that. A himbo.
We're stealing that word. stealing the word.
Like, oh,
Brian, okay. you were a himbo for a little while.
I was a hut, which is a male version of a slut. I was a mutt, yes.
The male version.
I'm using that one, sorry.
But I'm married now happily. I have to qualify. I'm married now happily. My wife will listen to this show. She's in the other room.
Well, I've got a cousin that's a hut. I think he's a bit of a hut.
Yeah. guys can get into it too. We all have needs, Michelle. That's all I got to say. I was a young, dumb, and full of you know what. So I feel like you and I are married at first sight after 365 million episodes of this show that has, I mean, it goes on for fucking ever. Did you know this when you were filming that there'd be so many episodes of the show?
Actually, they cut out like a lot of them. So they cut out a month of episodes.
Whoa.
Can you believe that?
No.
Because we were all going crazy, like our cast. Like we were just like, how dare? Because it's all so manipulated and edited.
Of course
it's just like, I never did that. That didn't happen. And just like, and we're just ringing the executive producer all the time. I'm suing. I'm doing this. I'm doing that because like the stories and like even the feedback we're getting now. This girl was writing to me and I was reading a message. She goes, I thought you were so genuine. Then why did you say you didn't really like Steve? And I'm just like, it's edited.
It's just edited.
Yeah. It's so edited. Like most of the time, anyone who's got sound experience, you can hear that the words aren't even in the same room, the words that we've spoken.
Interesting. Yeah.
Because if you listen to my voice is very odd because I talk very slowly on the show. Mm-hmm. And my friends are like, I can't believe that you talk so slowly. It's like you were thinking about everything you said. I'm just like, I never think about what I'm going to say, okay? It just comes out of my mouth and I talk this far. Thing is, when they edit it and they take out every second word, it sounds like I talk very
But I bet, I bet though when there's like a camera in your face, you're also kind of like thinking about it.
Yeah, you forget about the camera after a while. It becomes part of your life, doesn't it?
Yeah, and the microphone, you just actually forget that you actually just can kind of do everything. Well, I did. I just lived like how I thought. That's probably why I said all that stupid stuff.
I would do the same thing.
Michelle, I think you, this show has taken a certain part of this country by storm. And I know you know this because I know that there are probably a lot of people communicating this with you. And my wife and I hooked from show one. And you and Steve are the reason why this show was most interesting to us because the way that they edited your storyline together. What's that?
She said, are you odd?
Because we're old.
No, because she's old. Oh, no. Well, listen to this. I'm going to tell you a funny story real quick. So I asked Steve to come on the show also. You're the first person I reached out to, but then we reached out to a couple of other people. And I said, I asked Steve to come on the show. And he's like, listen, mate, let me get back to you. And, you know, I'll let you know. But there's a couple of, Chrissy and I have been talking about this on a number of episodes. And a couple of the episodes, I said that Steve was in his late 60s. And so I'm sure he's not coming on the show because he's probably like, this fucking buffoon. Let me get it out of the way. Do you think, I know that this storyline was edited. I've heard a lot of your podcasts and vodcasts you've done off air. I've done my homework. I understand that it's just manipulated, but let's assume for a second that the storyline was real and Steve really wasn't sleeping with you for whatever reason. My wife and I had a theory, or I had the theory, and I'm just blaming my wife for it right now. I had the theory that Steve may have had performance anxiety, like maybe, you know, man of a certain age, maybe he was like, you know, scared to get into bed with somebody and he didn't want to be called out on national television. Now, I mean, obviously we don't know if that's true. I don't want to make up rumors, but that was what I was speculating at the time when I was watching the show and engaged in it. I thought, you know, maybe Steve is like, you know, maybe he's just not ready to rock. And
maybe he needs a pill.
Yeah, maybe he needs daddy's little helper or something. And he's afraid that he's going to get called out on national television.
Yeah, well, I think that I never actually considered that would be a thing because I think it was quite early when you kind of realize whether you're going to gel with this person or not.
Interesting.
I think at the honeymoon, before you see most of the filming, we'd already decided, that this wasn't going to work. Yeah. He watches television. I like to go out, hike. And it's like, yeah, there was... We just
didn't get along. It just didn't happen.
We did get, you know, like we got along with the show, and yeah, it's very difficult. What do you say? So I knew that I didn't want to kiss him. So if you don't want to kiss someone, you're not going to kiss them.
Yes.
How did they edit the show so incredibly tactfully to make it seem like, I mean, Michelle, I've been in radio, I've been in television, I'm a podcaster, I'm not an idiot. I understand that the show is the show first. It's not about your marriage, it's about the ratings. And so they're going to do whatever they have to do to get from point A to point B with the ratings. But they edited that so incredibly well to make most, I think, of America believe that you were getting... the short end of the stick or the dick or whatever.
I started to fall for Steve, and not as I did start to fall for him, because you don't realize that you're in this environment and you have to, like, you rely on that person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So basically it starts off when I make the comment about let's have sex. Mm-hmm. Let's just have sex, and we don't have to kiss. We'll just have sex.
Get it out.
So I don't know. So I don't know if you noticed, but that one of the experts, she always asks you about your sex life.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And so we're on the couch, and you see me say, "Well, let's just have sex. Let's have sex, and we don't have to kiss. We'll just have sex."
Interesting.
And everyone's pissing themselves laughing. So I thought, this is freaking funny, because I'm having, like, and then all of a sudden it's like it became a serious thing.
It became the whole show, Michelle.
I wanted to have sex with him.
Michelle, yes. It became the whole show for like 10 episodes.
I know.
It's the whole, it's the only reason why anybody's watching is because they're like, is Steve going to bang Michelle? Is Michelle finally going to get what she needs? You know, and all this stuff. And are they going to make it? And they edited it in a way where you're really pulling for Michelle. You're like, Michelle, like they're going to do it. They're going to get together. They're going to have intimacy. Things are going to work. And then you realize that it's just it's a hunk of bullshit. But I get what you're
saying. Like, yeah, I have feelings for this person, but it's not like that I wanted to kiss him or have sex with him. Like, even this is like when we came to stay at my place, and like, I just don't realize why the viewers don't realize how have I got a 3-bedroom house and the only bed that's missing is my daughter's bed. So like, we've got a spare room where my son's bed is. My daughter hasn't got a bed and I've got a bed. Now, why does my daughter not have a bed? Does no one ask themselves? It's like, I know that they're going to make him try to sleep in my room. The only way that I can get that my daughter sleeps in my bed with me and not, it's like removing her bed. So I have my family remove her bed out of our house. There's not even a bed in her room. This poor 18-year-old girl, she's 19 now, has to say that she wants to sleep with her mum because she hasn't got a bed in her room. Her psychotic mom has taken it out of there. No one thinks, and everyone's like, yeah, I want to share the bed. I want to share. No, I don't want him to share my bed.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
I got rid of my daughter's bed so that she has to sleep in my bed with me.
Yeah, that's really interesting. So let's.
Why didn't anyone pick it up?
Because they edited it so masterfully. And Endemol Shine, who is the production company. So I want to make sure that we're filling people in who may not have watched the show, because we have a rather large audience across the world, and some people, and especially in the UK, I think they're about to get this, aren't they?
I think they started watching it. Okay. So yeah,
I just want to make sure that so just to let you know, Steve and Michelle are married at first sight. We already kind of did a little pre thing on a pre show about how you guys go down the aisle. You are total strangers, but the producers make it out to seem as if Steve and Michelle are getting along, are firing on all cylinders except one. And that is intimacy, that they just can't get it together in the bedroom. And that's not because of Michelle's is unwanting or not trying. It's because Steve is unwilling or unable. And this becomes such a big deal in the show. Like there's 10 episodes that are dedicated to this. Start back up for just one second. You walk down the aisle. What are you thinking? Can we rewind that for a second? You walk down, let's go to the wedding day. Let's even go further, okay. Back to that. I'm married. I've been married twice. Chrissy, you're married. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. You've been married, Michelle.
Yes.
It's hard to fuck enough when you know somebody. Like I knew my wife for 2 years and the wedding day was tough to fuck enough. How difficult is this wedding day when you don't have any idea what's on the other side of this?
It was hard, like, you know, because I couldn't communicate with my family and I couldn't get like a real gauge of what they thought, because my family's also very pleasant. So they didn't want to say anything.
They're lovely. On the show, they came across lovely. So, yeah.
But we walk down the aisle and we do the vows and you have to go back and do it again. Like you walk back out.
I heard you say that.
Repeat.
What? So, you have to do the vows twice?
Yes.
So they got multiple angles?
Didn't you take off your hair and your makeup and you were like, I'm done. I'm not doing this.
I was just like, I don't want to do this. I'm leaving. There's a serial killer truck driver I'm going to kill. I would rather be dead.
Yes.
Little credit to Steve. He looked pretty dapper. I mean, he had the skinny pants on with the, you know, his ankles showing. I was like, Steve looks pretty dapper. He had his ankles showing. I thought to myself, with the guy with the ankles showing, I'm like, I don't think this is gonna go well. His ankles are showing. But
I think it was just different. I thought maybe the preacher, the guy that was doing it, was going to be my partner. I couldn't believe that. Yeah, I just didn't imagine.
Him being
and young. I got a photo and I actually took it to my doctor to get it aged, because I just couldn't believe he was 52. I just could not believe this person was 52, and I'm just like, how old is this person? How old is it? And they're just like 65, 63, and I'm just like, he acted very old well. It wasn't just that he, and I don't think he had that hard a life. It's just that he was way older in his brain, the way that he was set
in his ways, Michelle. He was set in his ways before he came on the television show. He had, I think, the only way that it was going to work out is if you fit exactly inside his box and did everything he wanted to do. And listen, there's lots of people out there like that. I know lots of people like that too. I have family members who are like that. If you don't fit in their world, it ain't happening. They're not willing to stretch outside their sphere of influence or sphere of comfort to get some kind of relationship going. And relationship is so much about compromise. And it's not that Steve didn't come across as nice at some point, but he just didn't seem like he was willing to at all compromise. And it was quite clear from the beginning that I understood what you guys were talking about when you were falling for each other. You were falling for each other in a way that two friends fall for each other. There's a honeymoon period.
Okay. Yeah. It's not like a honeymoon. It's like, I've never lived with anyone. I've only lived with my children and my parents. And so then this is the first time I've had a roommate. Like, you know, we had separate bedrooms. We had separate bathrooms. We just had a communal area where we would sit, where he could watch TV when I wasn't in the room.
And he was watching a lot of TV.
He had
his own TV in his own room as well, because, like, I don't like TV. So, yeah, so we had our own little areas, and then he would go to breakfast every day by himself, and I would just, like, sometimes I'd come down and the paps would say to me, are you just making a special appearance? And I'm just like, why? And they're just like, because you don't come down with Steve. And I'm just like, No, he wants to go to breakfast by himself. Let him fucking go.
Yeah.
Like, really?
You were married to the guy in this whole experiment/experience that sounds like it was so incredibly stressful. And he didn't want to go to fucking, he wanted to go to breakfast by himself?
Yeah, he did. Like, he would often go with Johnny or Seb or the boys.
Oh, okay.
And not that he was allowed to, but like, yeah, he just didn't want me there.
How did you?
It's okay. Like, but that's what I couldn't register. Like, well, if you don't, like, why can't we just leave? Why can't we just go?
Yeah.
I just want to go.
Well, let me ask you.
Yeah.
How did you get involved in this whole process? I understand and I don't mean like, you know, I understand you were invited once to come on the show and then you got invited a second time. You were with, or you made it onto the cast the first time, but you were with somebody. And then, but I mean, like, who has the idea? Is it you? Are you like, you know what? This sounds like something I'd really like to do. It'd be a neat experience. I want to go and do it. Who knows? Maybe I do get to fall in love. Is it you that like kind of, you watch the show and decide this is it? Yeah.
Yeah. I decided that I wanted to, because I thought, well, arranged marriages work.
Yeah.
Like, you know,
they do.
People fall in love. And in our culture, like my Macedonian culture, people do it. So why couldn't it work? And I was really convinced that they were actually doing it. They told me they were doing it. I was convinced. Why would it not work? I have dated nearly every man and their dog in their dog. Like their man and the sister. Anyway, so then there was no one left. So I just thought, what?
Take a chance.
Yeah. Take a chance. Why not? So you get cast on this show. Is it pretty like? So I think I want to point out to the audience, but it's pretty clear from the beginning that the producers are going to drive this one way or the other. Mm-hmm. This is not about letting you.
They're normal
fall in
people.
Love.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Yes, it's very clear.
It's very clear. Did they tell you, like, I mean, when you get cast on the show, are they like, get prepared for 3 months away from your children, away from your family? You're not going to have any access. You're going to have to be locked down with this person. Or is it more nebulous than that? Are they just like, you're going to get married, then we're going to send you off on a honeymoon and you guys are going to live together and don't worry about it. Everything will be fine.
No, it's like, yeah, like, come, we found the most perfect person you're going to be matched with.
You'll
be able to go to the gym because the gym's in the center, like where you're going to be staying. There's a pool. We'll get you your egg boiler because I don't know how to boil eggs. And I'll give you celery juice. Yay. All right. Everything.
It's
I've got celery
beautiful,
juice.
Beautiful, all inclusive.
It's a vacation.
And
you're going to meet the man of your dreams. And I'm just like, okay, well, what have I got to lose? Like, what do I really have to lose? I'm very likable. Like, yes. I've got nothing to lose.
You are very likely.
Really, right. And you realize we're going to cast with all the other numbskulls, and like then we've got their dramas as well.
Right.
Their dramas far surpassed your drama, though the producers do a good job of focusing in on you for a good portion of the show. I was texting with you the other night. It seems more like a fucking swingers party than a reality show at some point. Everyone's sleeping with everyone else's husbands and wives.
I mean, maybe
everyone's just a little too drunk. I don't know. It's more like, I don't know. It's more like a show on MTV. Have you seen
go ahead. Even off screen. Wow. Some of the stuff that would happen off screen. Like, yes. We were all staying in the same hotel on the same level. We do have babysitters, producers that look after us.
24 hours a day?
Yes.
Shit.
And we've got motion things on our room. So, but we can sneak out.
Well, how does that work? How if they're watching you all the time, how does that work?
And there's a particular producer like babysitting and it's the weekend or it's late and you can make a distraction and you can get out.
Is this when all the trouble started? Trouble started when people were sneaking out? That's when the trouble started?
Yeah, I think that we were quite unruly. Well, not me. I was very good. But everyone was quite unruly and just like, yeah, no, I like this person. I like that one. Just like, yeah, we could just swap.
What, just swap? We'll just hook up with whoever. It's fucking
and
crazy.
And do you think some people were there just to be on TV? Were planted? And then some people were there to be real? What was the ratio?
The thing is, some days you're so bored and you hate the person you're with. Mm. You actually hate them. Like, you can't imagine living with your husband or wife that you love. This is someone that you don't even freaking like. Right.
Yes.
And you're with them 24/7. You hate them and you're bored out of your brains. You'd actually have sex with someone just to make a bit of a story. Okay. Yes. That's what you would do. I would have actually done anything almost because you just think, I am so freaking bored. I am like, you don't even talk. Like, I can't have an intelligent conversation. Somebody just has some sort of conversation that you want to, like, yeah, wow, let's go.
Yeah, at that point, you're like, it's almost like you're a prisoner. And so you're just willing to get a little bit of sunlight. And I don't mean like a prisoner in the four walls, even though you probably were too. But I mean like a prisoner in your own mind. And you're like, any bit of sunshine, any bit of fun, differentiation from Steve going to breakfast, me sitting in a room, listening to Steve's TV. But you know what I'm saying? It's like anything.
You will do absolutely anything. And it's not because you want the fame. It's because you're actually bored and you just need some sort of stimulation, whether it be mental, physical, or whatever. You just are, and the activities they plan that they're going to film are so freaking boring that you just think, and that this is what we're doing.
Yeah.
And I think that's what they did for me and Steve. It's like, oh, well, now you're going to do this food challenge. And just like, are you freaking joking? Like, I want to jump off the top of the building and you want me to do like a food tasting thing? Yeah. Yeah. I was shoving up your bum. Yeah. So sorry. That's right. That's why people probably did get to that point. You get so bored.
Some
people do actually just want the drama and they want to be on TV. They want to. Yeah, oh, I think most of the people did. Maybe even I did, but I don't think I did. I just wanted to meet my one, and I just wanted him to see me.
Yeah.
And I thought I was going to meet him down the aisle, and if I didn't meet him down the aisle, I thought he was going to be there at the wedding. That's what I thought. I was, like, so romantically, like,
what did you think walking down the aisle?
I think you've said before, here's a truck driver.
I was like, I had my son with me and he's absolutely adorable, but he's
a cute kid.
And I just feel bad. Like, he's still not recovered from the wedding.
Yeah.
He's feeling a lot of stress around this, huh?
Well, the thing is, like, he was very stressed at the wedding and no one ever showed him and his reaction because he knew that Steve was not good for me.
Right.
From the first minute. And he's like, they're pulling me away from him, and he's like, I can't let you go, Mum. I've looked after you for like so many years. And he's like, this evil man's taking you. It's like, it was so sad, but they would never show that because that would make it they were happy to make my daughter look like a bit of a cunt. Like, you know, that was fine.
Yeah.
But she is a strong girl, but they didn't want to show my son and his sadness because. Like, then that would actually show that Steve wasn't genuine.
Yeah, that would show that doesn't fit their storyline by the time it's all said and done, they have it in the can and they understand that if the storyline's going to go like this and what they show is some young man that's crying for his mother and saying, this is not a good thing, don't do this. It doesn't fit the storyline that Michelle loves Steve and Steve doesn't want to sleep with Michelle, right? It doesn't fit that storyline, which they so, again, craftfully edited in an amazing way. When you, like, when you get
on. When you put my son outside with me, with my sister, and it's like, let's go. Yeah. Let's just go.
Let's just leave. Like, that's my question, Michelle. I understand the premise of the contract, right? And I know they can be pretty tight. And I also understand what it's like to be in a room in a business meeting and someone's holding a contract and saying, it's either courtroom.
Yeah.
Or we figure it out right now, or you do what I say you're going to do.
Do what we say,
And I've been in that situation as a businessman, and so I understand the stress that comes with that. But at some point, if it feels like you're, and I've heard from other people on the show too, like I've now watched other people that have been, you know, in YouTube videos and stuff, saying some of the same stuff that you're saying. And basically what they're saying is, it felt like we were held hostage, that we were here with people that we should not be matched with on purpose to cause us stress, drama, and pain. And then they want to film it. And when it's not exciting enough, they want to get us in a room and tell us that we're never going to get on TV if we don't start making it exciting.
Yes, or they tell you that Australia will hate you and they will throw you in that light. And it's like, which is terrible. Like the stress that they put me under with Steve, like when Steve was, we were having a huge fight. It's all on camera and we're having the biggest argument and he's screaming and swearing at me. And then he starts like going, like he's very angry in his room. And I have the executive producer saying to me, you know what? You look like the biggest cunt not going into that room to console that man. I'm just like, are you freaking joking? I'm a victim of DV, a survivor of DV. Right. I'm not going into a room where a man's going off his head, swearing at me, calling me every freaking name, and then to get my nose broken? No.
Fuck that.
Oh, Australia's going to hate you. They're going to say that you're like this mean bitch. You're letting him cry. It's heartbreaking.
That's awful.
Like, are you joking? And I'm feeling like, are you crazy? Like, I'm not going in there. I don't care. So I gave him some chocolate. I'm just like, how dare they try to make me?
Here's a piece of chocolate.
Because I'm just the door. Like, I really am. Because you live and you learn. And you know, when an angry man is like that, I don't know Steve, so I don't know if he is going to punch me in the face.
Right.
He would not, but I don't know him that well. So there's no way I'm actually going to open the door and say, here I am, break my face. Like, yeah,
No way. You, at the end of the day, you're fucking strangers. At the end of the day, you're strangers. Here's the biggest difference between the television show on the U.S. Have you seen the U.S. version of the television of the Married at First Sight?
I watch this gorgeous couple on Instagram, and I'm just like, I'm in love with them.
Who? Which one?
The boy with the long hair and
They're so okay. And just in case for people who may
spoiler alert.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about. They're lovely. They're a bunch of hippies that live down in New Orleans, and they're just lovely.
Yeah, they are hippie-ish. Yes, and I'm just like, oh god, I love them.
My favorite couple on the Married at First Sight US, but the Married at First Sight US or MAFS is so tame compared to the Australian version because they actually
love each other.
Yes, they actually fucking love each other. They put people. Michelle, I know you're done with reality television, but
I just love it that they seem like they love each other, and I just like, and it's so adorable. I just love it, and now that you told me that they really do,
Love each other. These couples beautiful. Survive. They're 10 season deep, 9 seasons deep, and they are doing whole television new seasons during the quarantine, what we're calling the quarantine over here. They're doing new seasons just following the couples that have survived that experience. And there's 20 couples in 9 seasons that have children and they're living together and all this other stuff. Because I think they actually do have real experts that try and match them for real. But the show's by default is not as interesting because it's like real relationship shit. So when someone on Married at First Sight Australia is sleeping with somebody else's wife and, you know, and that's kind of drama. On Married at First Sight the U.S., they're arguing over what they're going to budget for their food budget next week. It's like it's so real. Like, yeah, it's just like.
Would you do?
What's that?
I said, would you do? Oh, go ahead, Michelle. Sorry.
They don't have a party. They don't have any. Did you say, do they have a party?
Yeah, a dinner party where they can talk to each other and say, this is what's happening in our relationship and blah, blah, blah.
No, that's another difference is that the difference that you're very structured over there. You guys interact with each other all the time. The couples do to the point where I think it's detrimental to the point where I believed that there were moles in your group, people that were being cued on. Yeah. By the producer. I think Chrissy had asked this question earlier, but I think there were people that were in the room that were cued on, and Mike might have been one of them or whoever, right? And they were asking such crazy questions that you wouldn't ask at a dinner party. Like, you know, do you love, you know, would you have sex with your mate? Do you like her tits? Stuff that's just like crazy that you would never ask somebody at a dinner party to evoke a reaction that then caused a bunch of drama. But in the Married at First Sight US, they get together for drinks, but it seems like it's on their own volition. Like they actually ask each other if they want to, hey, you want to go out and have a drink? Yeah, okay, I'll just go out and have a drink. But there's no recommitment ceremony, but they do meet with actual experts, therapists, love coaches. They meet with them. On your version,
we don't talk to ours at all.
You guys sit in front of them.
Us there, the producers talking through them. So So they don't really communicate with us at all.
Wow.
And so we sit across from them, but they're not actually trying to hear what we're saying. The producers just basically hearing it and then telling them what to say back to us.
Oh, really?
So wow. They're just there as a figurehead, or like a, mm-hmm. I don't know. Like
a face.
They're
yeah,
giving, face they're giving it. Credibility. They're lending credibility to mm-hmm. the fact that you guys have been married by experts, when the experts are nothing but real, they're really producers, they're actors and editors, and that's, and they're there to help guide the show in a certain direction. And
we both have that in our contract, that the experts are not there for you. The experts are there for the producer, for the producers, and for, which I can't believe that I found it. It's like, yeah, so they're not to give us advice. They're there to give the production advice. So they don't actually give us any advice.
They're there to tell the producers how to push your buttons. That's fucked up, Michelle. Yeah. That's fucked up.
So it's like really insane. And it's like, wow. But and I think definitely there's people that were there that got pushed. And even like for yourself, like for myself, I know like me and Steve had a big blow up one night, and it was you know, when I had the two glasses of wine.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we need to have a drama for the dinner party. You know, we can have the drama or we can not have it. But if we don't have it, then they're filming until 2 or 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning.
Just to wait for it.
Until you get so drunk that there's going to be drama?
Well, you're not drinking, you're not eating. Well, you're drinking alcohol, but you're not drinking water and that. So then that night was an early night for us, because they just said, oh, look, you're going to have to do the – you're going to have to. And I was just like, no, I'm not going to talk to him. I'm not talking to him. Then at about 11, I thought, wow, you know what, if I don't do this, we're going to be here till 4 o'clock.
Let's just get it over with.
And I just said, okay. We had the argument. Steve left. I think it was 11:45. We're out and we're home. We're ready to sleep. And that was the earliest dinner party we had, because it was just all over and done. They got their drama. And it's
night, night.
This sounds like in the U.S. they would call this a hostage situation. They would not call this a reality television show.
And that's what I say. Like, I think, wow, like the human rights that are breached on set, which is incredible. Then I just think if it's in the U.S., it would, like, not at least one person would speak up. But we've got so many film crew. There's at least 100 people there.
Whoa.
Filming and, like, whoa, audio, and like with all of us. Not one person speaks up and says, well, these people haven't had a drink of water, or they haven't eaten for this many hours. Mm-hmm. Or we've been here, sitting here for 12 freaking hours.
Isn't there like a... That's crazy. Isn't there like a psychological, like, I know sometimes on reality shows here, they have like a psychological evaluator, someone that's sitting there going, okay, she is kind of going sideways and we better pull her off, give her a vacation,
right?
Take her off the show, give her a break.
Yeah, we do have a psychologist there, but she also then reports everything to the producers.
Oh, so you don't trust her. It's like, you don't want to talk to her because then she's just going to go.
I openly said to her, yeah, I'm going to jump off the building. I'm going to jump because that's the only way I feel like I can get out.
Oh my God.
And I'm not allowed to go home to see my family. And I'm just like, I actually am going to jump. Because like, and she's just like, okay. So she tells the executive producers, and then I get to go home that weekend.
Whoa. Actually, they did have someone on the set that was saying, Michelle's about to lose her potatoes, so we better get her.
She's
going to
jump off the balcony.
You want to jump off the balcony. But I don't think...
I tried, but there was like the fence, the second fence was too high, so I couldn't make it. Like, really? It's like that bad.
It's that bad.
Yeah,
like, you're not joking about this. You were really traumatized by this whole situation.
He found between the two fences.
Oh, my God.
And... he's like, what the frick are you doing? I said, I'm fucking getting out of here. I really am. Like, I am jumping the fuck off.
I'm done.
And so then I kind of
like, okay.
Did Steve become kind of like, after a while, he became like a comfort zone? Like, even though you didn't care for him in that way, like when you guys obviously
care, like that's the person you care about the most, I suppose, because they're with you.
They're your lifeline. They're your lifeline.
Stockholm syndrome. They're captor, and like they give you life, they give you a little bit of food, they give you something. And it's really, it's It's Stockholm syndrome. We fall in love with our captors because we don't, we need to. Because I realized very early when I spoke up about Steve and said, oh, look, I don't like him. I don't like what he's about. I think he's here for the wrong reasons. The whole group turned on me and no one talked to me. And I was just like, wow, they were all fans of Steve. And so
the group of the other contestants.
Yeah, so everyone else, except for Michael and Stacey, they talk to me, but they were the only two. So, but everyone else turned on me. No one talked to me, and you're just like, wow. Oh. And so then you're like, it's like those chickens that there's a pecking order, and so then you realize if I want to be accepted by the group,
you got to hang out with the popular kids. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And every time I try to say something, honestly, and then you just say, like, I was trying to say, oh, it's the betrayal or this, and they're just like, yeah, Steve's good, you're not valid. What you're saying is not valid, you know, and you're just like, okay, I give up because I know I'm a prisoner here.
Yeah.
I know that this is the only person that can help me.
You know, here's the interesting, I just made a connection in my head, Michelle. Endemol Shine has been they're the producers behind the Survivor series, which has been going on forever and ever and ever. And as we watch Survivor forever, I mean, it's like I'm 40 years old. I feel like half my life Survivor's been. I stopped watching it after season two or whatever. But one of the things became the psychological gameplay that went on there and how if you wanted to be popular, you had to hang out with the popular kids. And if you didn't want to get kicked off, you had to manipulate this person and do this person for years. They understand the psychology about what happens when you stick a group of people in a room and cut them off from the rest of the world. They understand how to push those buttons to make drama out of it. And so now I'm believing that they're taking a little bit of that knowledge and bringing it to Married at First Sight Australia. Why it doesn't happen here in the US, I think because legally, I actually think that people here in the US, it's such a popular show anyway, that they like to see people actually fall in love. Yeah. But how does this still go on in Australia? Is it not clear to everyone watching? Is this an incredibly popular show in Australia?
I think it is, but I think it really is. But that I don't. In America, you actually understand your human rights and your and all of your rights.
Correct.
In Australia, we don't. Our human rights bill in Queensland, like in our state, was released earlier this year.
Wow!
Whoa!
Our human rights bill. It's like
it's
what?
2020. You've been a century for like a thousand years.
So how could we actually say that's against my human rights? Because most of us don't even know what our rights are. We don't know what rights we have against anything. So, like, we're just not educated like that to know, wow, this what they're doing is wrong. We could see, like, you know, if this was prisoners and prisoners weren't getting food or water, we'd say, well, that's against their rights.
Of course.
We would see that. But they can't see it as other people, and we can't see it as ourselves.
Because think most people see it like Chrissy and I, not that we see it this way, but like we think other people see it like going into the show, which is it's a big fucking vacation. You're on television. You're going to be famous. You're going to get some deal out of it. You're going to make money. But the truth is you don't make any money, and it's the producers who make the money. They don't pay you, do they? They pay you like a stipend a day.
$150 a day.
How do you survive on that?
Yeah, we're in the middle of Sydney. So we're in the middle. It's like the most, like, you're so expensive.
Yeah.
To get your hair done, it's like $150, like to get it styled or blow waved or
you
whatever.
You had to pay for your own hair?
Yeah, we do our own hair, our own makeup. So that's like $100 to get your makeup, your own clothes. Like, I think, I know that I'm in debt something like 48,000 or something. Casey said she's in debt like 20 and she was only there for like a short amount of time.
Holy you just, shit.
Go into debt because you have to wear a new outfit.
Yeah, you have to.
Yeah, because they won't allow you wear the same outfit. So and then it's just like you don't actually realize the enormity of like all of that until afterwards, and you just think, now I can't not. Everyone's got makeup on. I've got to wear makeup. I've got to get my hair done. Like I can't just go.
You're on television. You in front of everybody in Australia. You want to look good. How can they not? How can they not spring for a crew?
Yeah, I totally thought this is a. I had no idea because I totally thought on all these shows they at least had a hair and makeup person. Like But there's no. Wow.
No. And if you look like a scrubber, they're going to even love it even more. They'll just like show you as the, like, you know, when you look really bad.
It doesn't show you as like a walk of shame every day.
So, yeah, I think that it's just, yeah.
That is insane to me, Michelle.
I didn't even think of the monetary that I was losing with all the, and then plus we buy.
You thought you were going to find your true love. Of course, right. You want to look good. You want to spring for the clothes and the hair and the makeup. I'm in.
When you got off the television show, you obviously, I think, were pretty psychologically stressed, right? And I've seen you in some of these videos where you're talking and in some other shows that you've done, and you just sound like this was a horrible experience. And you're not the only one, by the way. So you're not like the crazy individual who just came off the show and decided to gripe about it, because there are other people who were there shorter amounts of time than you were who are also saying the same thing about this television show. And I think, you know, I'm not sure every person that listens to the commercial break, besides the information that I give them when we're talking about this, know about Married at First Sight. And my hope with you coming on was, first of all, you're a totally incredibly cool person. Like, I think that even comes across on the screen. Of course,
yes.
You do. Yeah,
we're big fans.
Big fans. It comes across on the screen, and just the small communication we've had before the interview, it's really come across too. But my hope in doing the interview was to enlighten folks that these type of television shows, while they may be entertaining to you, there's like real people on the other side of the camera that may be suffering at your expense, because you're one of those people that suffered at that expense. When you got off the show financially, did anybody come to you and say, I'd like you to do a brand deal with you? Like, was there any kind of recoup of any of that cash?
Yeah. So then I signed up with a PR company, because they tell you when you leave, these are some PR companies. So you sign with a PR company. I don't know why, because I have nothing to promote. So I have no brand, I have no product. I didn't want to like become an influencer or anything like that. I wasn't even meant to get followers. Like all these young girls, they didn't get as many followers. I ended up with like a crazy amount of followers.
A lot of people follow you on because you come across as authentic.
You're real. Yeah.
But I think I wasn't meant to get all these followers, and it's like, well, what do I do now? I don't know what to do. So I signed a couple contracts.
Yeah.
But then I just thought, wow, I signed a couple with some weight loss people. And then I just thought, but that doesn't work. And so the next day I said, this doesn't work.
This is a bunch of bullshit. Yeah.
And it's like, you know what happens then? They don't like that.
No,
you
they don't.
And so the thing is, when I advertise something, it's because I genuinely like it. And most of the things I'm not even paid for. Like HelloFresh, I did get paid for that.
I love HelloFresh, by the way. Well, I've used it in the past. We love it.
They gave me free food as well. They gave me free food for that promotion. So that was great.
Yeah.
You know? Awesome. So I'm very open with what I do get. But, I think that, no, the other stuff, if I don't believe it, then the next day I will say to you, this is not good. No, I don't believe it.
Good and for so, you.
Thank you. Thank you.
It's a shit product.
Well, you're like one. You are the exception and not the rule, because there's lots of Instagram followers. Not saying all of them, but a lot of them. They will pitch you shit in a bag and call it makeup if they can make a dollar off of it. And I applaud you for that. I mean, listen, what you do with it is you just continue to cultivate who Michelle is. You just be authentic, and then something will come. I mean, I don't need to tell you what to do, right? You do what you're smart enough. You're educated. You're an educated woman. But I mean, listen, you know, we would die for 150. It's like 150, 175,000 Instagram followers. And I think the reason why you're one of the more popular ones is because it just really shines through the television show. Do you feel like people are getting the message that you're out there, like you're telling people, hey, listen, this show is not what you think it is. People are really suffering on the back end of this. Do you think people are getting the message, like Australians in general?
I think that like some people do.
They just want to watch the show.
I don't know. I don't think that they do, because there's still people suffering. And then now you get to a realization. And I think I came to a realization the other day. Well, yeah, they treated us pretty shit, but I've been treated shit in my life. So, yeah, I can deal with it.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
I can accommodate for the way that they treated me because they didn't even know me, where people that have known me have treated me badly. So, which is like almost like a defeat state. So, you know what? Yeah, I can't hold them totally accountable for everything that I suffered because, yeah, I have been treated worse.
Yeah, but
would you do it again? Would you do it on another show?
Would you do it in the US?
No, you're like done.
Well, I don't believe that the US is going to do it properly anymore now that they've seen this. I would definitely move to the US if there was some. If I fell in love, I'd move anywhere, just anywhere, because I just want to meet my one.
Yeah.
You remind me a lot of Chrissy Hoadley. Is my co-host, and we've been friends for longer than I care to tell the audience. And I know what that friendship kind of love is, that what I'm sure you were feeling for Steve at some point, which is, you know, this is someone who's really got my back, who I, you know, and I know that in your situation, it was forced, right? It was just the only thing you had. So you may not have chosen him in real life, but I understand that. And your personality sometimes on the show reminded me of Chrissy Hoadley. And I think that's why I felt so much like so endeared to your character now that I know it's on the show. But you're going to, like, if you, that's what you care for and that's what you want, I think you're going to find somebody. Have you been dating after the show, or is it just like too much?
No, I haven't dated.
No one's picked up the phone and called you? No one said like, hey, no strangers on Instagram, no Facebook messages?
Slide into the DMs.
Yeah, no one slid into your DMs.
Strangers on Instagram, but like, I'm just... They say lots of strange things. So, like,
I can only imagine.
I think it's not maybe the platform to find someone like in my DMs, because I don't want a fan. I want somebody who wants me.
Right.
I think that if the U.S. producers could get a hold of you, and this is, I'm saying this, I'm kind of egging it on. If the U.S. producers could get a hold of you, I think that they honestly try and match people based on the criteria that makes sense, because so many of those couples, at least in the short term, they work out. And then there's lots that have worked out in the long term. Lots have children. Some of them have children together and they're living a wonderful life. I think that would be a runaway hit. If Michelle from Married at First Sight Australia came to the U.S. to get married at first sight in the U.S. So just keep that in mind. And I don't know if Endemol Shine
would be a really nice person.
Of course he would. Yes. There's a couple jerk offs on the show, right? Through the years, there've been a couple jerk. There's always one in the group.
There has to be one person
who's there with malintent. They put on a super good show for everybody, and then the second that they get behind the closed doors, they're total shitheads. Mm-hmm. But that's just life in general. You've experienced some real trauma in your life, but I've certainly been involved with some relationships where it all seemed like shit and shine a lot first, and then it went to fucking hell in a handbasket 2 days later. And
me too.
Yeah, and I stuck with it. I felt like I was in a reality show. I stuck with it also way longer.
Like, where are the cameras?
Yeah, but you know, I wish you had done this in the United States, because I think it would have ended up grand for you. Let me ask you a couple more questions. Did you get a lot of paparazzi that followed you around after the show? Because I know the paparazzi in Australia and in the UK, like Daily Mail and stuff like that, like they can be relentless. They're like crazy kind of paparazzi.
The thing is, the paps here, they're actually kind of like your saviors. So you meet the paps quite early. So from your wedding, they're there.
Oh, really?
We ended up talking to them. So because they're there, you see them more than you see anyone else. And like, you know, when you actually need to go to the doctors, they'll tell you which doctor to go.
Oh, really?
Something. Or they'll see you and they'll say, are you okay? They'll take photos of you. But it was actually like they were like our lifeline of reality.
Yeah. That's very interesting.
And I still have a relationship with all of them, the ones that I know. And I wouldn't there is one in Brisbane that I've told to basically fuck off. But everyone else, like, you have a relationship with them, because it's like you actually saved my life. Like,
you were
there when you could see when I was struggling and I just needed someone to talk to. And one of the young boys, he introduced me to his partner. They got married. It was just so lovely. Like, you know, it was just...
They were friends. They were friends when you needed them to be friends.
Yeah, they were friends. They were friendly.
So it was just like, it was just some, it was people that you meet that you think care about you, and I think that they did. And yeah, when other people are not.
Well, that's nice. They're treating you like a human, you know?
And that's the people that actually filmed our after stories, because they could see us suffering. Yeah. They could see us falling apart. And so then that Get Real Entertainment, they're the PAPs that have basically recorded our conversations.
They've tried to get the message out, but I guess what you're saying is that the ratings machine continues. Endemol Shine's going to do what, or the producers are going to do what they're going to do. And listen, who knows? Maybe it's just a shitty group of producers that are producing Married at First Sight Australia. I'm not saying Endemol Shine, the whole company is a bunch of assholes. I don't know them. They're very clever. Yeah. Very clever. Do you still believe, I think you do. I think I know this answer, but you still believe in love. You still think it's out there.
Oh, look, I didn't for so long. And I'm very hopeful. I'm so hopeful.
Stay that way. That's how you find somebody.
Like, I know that the whole experience makes you unravel yourself, and you go in. And when you go in, that's when you learn about yourself.
Right.
And that's the trauma as well, like, that we deal with, because you can never be that person you were before you went on MAFS.
Yes.
And that's what my friends and family said. And I've lost nearly all my friends and family after this.
They hated the fact that you were on the show. They don't like the way you were portrayed. They feel like you said things that weren't true.
There's a lot of inconsistencies in our stories because, you know, it's edited. Right. And they don't realize that it's edited. There's inconsistencies with, like, even their behavior. I don't know. You just see everyone so differently.
Yeah.
The experience, and you can't go back to unseeing, because you've seen what they've said on camera, you've seen what they've revealed. It's like, wow, that's how you really feel about me. And it's hard to go back to the unseen. Once you see, you've seen. Yeah. I couldn't look at the show
the same way after you and I started talking. I just could not look at the show the same way. I mean, it was still entertaining in a sense that it's a television show. It's a piece of entertainment program that's wasting an hour of my time, right? But I can't look at it the same way, because now I know the real human being that's behind the bullshit, right?
Yeah, so. But I think that, definitely it was a learning experience, but maybe they needed to let us know that, you know what? People are never going to accept us as the same afterwards. Yeah. So you're never taken seriously again. So, like, I'm fairly educated. So I have 3-4 degrees, and I'm just like, but I go back to work and I'm a joke.
That's 3.5 more than I have.
So are you still teaching, or you're not?
I'm at the police academy. So I'm doing learning support, but I struggle because of, recruits have to have a certain respect for you.
Yep.
But then I've been on TV. They don't even have that respect for me. Like, there's not, like, even, you know, with, like, we have that kind of hierarchy in police or military, kind
of
paramilitary. I lost it because I'm a joke.
Wow. Because they see you as just this girl who was on the reality television show. And they don't take the time to get to know you as a person. And they don't take the time. So you're saying that some of your family and friends also feel that way too? They're like, you know what?
I hate that for that you, sucks, Michelle.
No, it's okay. But I think everyone wants me to be the old Michelle. So they're just like, they see two Michelles and I only see one. And I can't be that old. I can only be me, who I am. Yeah. And
the only thing that's never changing is that we're always ever changing. Like, and the reality is that every experience you go through, you're going to pick, it's like you're sailing along, right? You go into port, you have an experience, you get on the ship. You're not the same person as when you left the ship. It's just the way that it is. And that happens in life, no matter whether you're a reality television star or not. It's just the way that life is. And so I hope that some of your friends and family understand that this is the way that life is. And I need the support. More people love you for who you are and for who you're not in those experiences. And I hope that, you know, I don't know if they'll listen to this, but I hope that they'll understand that life changes sometimes. You change. Yeah. People change. And because of those experiences, we need you more than ever. We don't need you to head out the door. We need you to get closer, right?
You had a transformation, you know?
But I think that also you probably I think I've pushed people away as well, because I realized our relationships are not healthy. And it's probably something that I needed to realize years ago.
Yeah.
And
well, good. Yeah. Toxic out. Out with the toxic.
Yeah. I think that, you know, it takes the whole, like, I was only going to embarrass myself in front of the Australia, but then it takes the whole world to actually love me and love the things that I do that members of my family would never accept. And I just think, wow. So my family and friends think I'm a jerk or like I'm an idiot because I act like that. But the rest of the world loves that. And it's like, it's very...
It's weird. It's weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
I know that the world doesn't know me, but the world can appreciate that quality that's kind of quirky about me, where people that know me can't.
Love it.
And that's really what is eye-opening as well. And just like, well, I'm never going to change. So this is me, quirks and all. And if you don't like it, if you can't accept it, well, then I just have to move forward.
Absolutely. I have I love you for everything that you are, and I love you for everything that you're not, right? If you're going to love somebody, you just have to accept them the way that they are. And sometimes I think it's the people who don't love us for who we're not. They expect us to be something else, or they want us to change something about themselves, that becomes toxic after a while. And you have to learn that, well, if they're not going to accept that part of me, then maybe at this moment.
What other people think of me is their problem.
It's none of my business. Yeah. It's none of my business.
Oh God, it is like that. And I think, so you do a little bit of pushing as well. So it's not just them leaving. It's that you realize what is good for you and what isn't as well. Yeah. But that's through growth. And like everyone, this is a traumatic experience. Like for 4 months, I'm away from my family and friends for the first time in my life. I've never lived away from them. And I'm living with a complete stranger in a city that's really busy and noisy. And yeah, it gave me anxiety. I was scared and I didn't know anyone. And yeah, it was just, I had to look in within and find myself even more, which I thought I knew myself, but I know myself more now. It's like, I really know myself.
Going through that.
I love you. And I love you more now that we've had a chance to actually sit and talk. I honestly do. You're my favorite on the show. Let me ask you two more questions. How are your children doing?
They're amazing. They're so wonderful. I love, I know that everyone says that, but my children are amazing. Like if I didn't have Eva, my daughter,
lovely woman,
I just don't think I would be here. She is so clever. She sees what I don't see.
Yeah.
She's
wise beyond her years. And that came through on the television show too, that she's wise beyond her years.
And she cares about me, but she's also big enough to say to me, you're being a fucking idiot as well.
That's what you mean.
And I need that. But whereas my son is just, he reminds me of me. He's got the kindest heart and he'll just give you that cuddle. And you're just like, aww. He loves you. He loves me just doesn't matter what. Or you're really dumb. You did something stupid. I love you still, mom.
He is a mama's boy. He just loves you. I mean, a mama's boy in a good way. I don't mean that in a bad way.
He's a great kid. So, you know, but I just feel, but he doesn't want to do a lot of socials. Like he won't get in anything because I think he was just too scarred from.
Yeah.
Did the kids have any blowback at school or from friends about the television show?
Because they both finished they're adults. They did. Eva got trolled quite a bit, especially for being a cow at the wedding and not minding her own business. And that's what I think, you know, wow. They were very keen to show my daughter as strong and like, you know, manipulative or manipulating a situation for her mom.
She was just protecting her mother. That's it.
Protection.
My son, like in his vulnerable side. And I just don't understand why they couldn't show a man being vulnerable.
Because it didn't fit the narrative. That's my opinion. Because they canned the whole show and they figured out that piece doesn't fit with everything else that we need to do in the show. If a little boy is crying for his mama and the producers take him away, it makes everybody in the situation look bad. It didn't fit their narrative. They didn't want to do it. And listen, at the end of the day, we always have to remember too, is that this is a television show. This is their job. Their job is to make this show as interesting as possible. And so for that, I mean, I don't know these people, obviously, personally, but for that, I understand why they're doing what they're doing, but I agree with you that there could have been a different way to go about it. They could feed people. They could give them hair and makeup. They could pay them a living wage. They could do things to make this whole fucking experience just a little bit more pleasant. And when they don't do that, it just and then they're making millions or billions of dollars on the back of this. It's just like, it shows just how rotten this egg is. It really stinks. Yes. Do you talk to Steve? Have you said anything to Steve since this show has ended? Have you guys had any conversation?
We did. So we actually talked at the reunion, after the reunion, and we were like joking around, and then we've even met up afterwards.
Good for you.
Then we did a live together, and I lost about 3,000 or 4,000 followers.
Did you really?
Yes.
Because they didn't like Steve?
He did the live. He gained some followers, but I lost. And I was just like, wow, people were really upset that I talked to him.
Wow.
And then it was like, it was just okay. Like, I just.
Whatever.
But like, I was surprised that I lost so many followers. Like, you know, and it was just like, because I was trying to be kind. But then I think his personality, it's never going to change.
Yeah.
His motivations were always the same. And I just have to accept that some people are just not my people.
Yeah, that's true.
And that's okay. Yeah.
I'm glad to hear that there is some kind of, like, there was some reckoning at the end of this and that you guys didn't end up completely sour at each other. Because listen, I know we've poked a little bit at Steve on this television show, but the truth is that he seems like pretty relatively harmless bloke who's just trying to get by in life the way that everybody else is. Bloke? I'm Australian now. I feel like I'm Australian. I'm using your words now.
What does crikey mean?
That's probably where we both came unstuck.
Yeah, I heard all about that. I would love, Michelle, so I'm going to be respectful of your time. I would love if you would it be okay if maybe in a month or so, if you're around and we can touch base, or we can just stay in touch and maybe you can come back?
On WhatsApp. That's it, Brian.
We were falling in love. My wife the other night was
mic drop.
I love it. Like, I have a few followers from the US, and I just absolutely love them. And I know that, like, when they're awake and when they're not, and it's just like I kind of like feel like I know them, or they're my friends. Like, but we're not.
You have to listen to this. So the other night, Michelle. So I'm watching the reunion special, Married at First Sight, and I am texting with Michelle on WhatsApp. It's a rather surreal experience, I just have to say, is that I've got someone on my 90-inch screen TV, and I'm texting them while we're doing this. And my wife looks over, and she's like, who are you texting? It's like 11 o'clock at night, and I'm watching a replay of the show. My wife's like, who are you texting? I'm like, Michelle from Married at First Sight. She's like, no way. And I'm like, oh, yeah. And she's like, so jealous. Yeah. She loves you, too. So listen, Michelle, we'll stay in touch. I'm going to do one thing. I'm going to say goodbye here with Chris. So stay with me just for one second, Michelle, if you would. I'm going to say goodbye to Chrissy. www.tcbpodcast.com is where you go to find out more information about the show. And join us at the commercial break on Instagram. Remember to join the break room for the after show. Michelle, do you have your Instagram? Can you tell us what that is?
My Instagram is Michelle_Meshes.
Michelle_message. We'll put it in the show notes. Do you have anything to plug? Are you still with HelloFresh?
No.
What about your lipstick? What about your lipstick?
I'm with New Skin with Ian Zealand.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah.
And he's amazing. He's such an adorable guy. So
I grew up watching him. I mean, I love him.
I only saw him in Sharknado, but I know he was in 90210.
Yeah.
He's just adorable.
He's awesome.
He is a cute guy. I like him too.
You like him too, right?
All right,
Chrissy. I really have anything to plug about. But I'm looking for the...
Stick with us, Michelle. Chrissy and I will see you on the after show. Until next time, bye.
Bye.
Hello, The Commercial Break listeners. I'm Barry Maxday.
I'm Ben Vandeveld.
And we'd love you to listen to Worst Foot Forward, our podcast all about failure.
Each week, we are joined by a guest to discuss the world's worst something, from detective to invasion, train to horror movie. We dive into humankind's darkest depths in search of the absolute pits.
Drawing from stories across human history, from the ancient Romans right up to the internet age, exploring the animal kingdom and outer space, there's bound to be something in here for fans of Commercial Break with your eclectic tastes.
On Worst Foot Forward, we've learned that conspiracy theorists think rocks aren't really hard, why one French physicist invaded the Channel Island of Sark, and how exactly to make a wasp gun.
While also uncovering the railway station of the dead, the doctor who put goat balls into human scrotums, and the West End musical funded by bird poo.
Subscribe to Worst Foot Forward on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Check out our website, worstfootforwardpodcast.com, and join us for some fun-filled zero worship.
To get access to the Commercial Break after show, go to tcbpodcasts.com and join the break room. You'll get access to the after show, YouTube extras, live shows, and much more. Follow at the Commercial Break on Instagram and Facebook. It's that squiggly little email thing @ the Commercial Break. The Commercial Break is written and produced by Brian Green, co-hosted by Chrissy Hoadley. The Commercial Break returns next Wednesday with an all-new episode. We are available on most podcast providers. Tune us in and ride it out.